The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. I hope you heard that.
Boker Tov. Yes, it's a very formidable task to have to come after some of these very profound quotes from Dr. Myberg, I have to tell you.
It's absolutely awesome. And I can also tell you that you hold your own. I don't think you need to be too concerned about that. Let's just talk about Bahrain's foreign minister. He landed in Israel yesterday on his first visit. What was the purpose?
Well, this is all about just developing the ties between the two countries. We know that the Israeli delegation went to Bahrain already previously in order to cement the new peace that has been established between the two countries. And yesterday was the return visit. At this time, it was the Bahraini foreign minister, who's Abdul Latif bin Rashid Al Zayani. I'm not going to say that again, but he was the guy who led the delegation from Bahrain. They landed on a Gulf Air flight, the first one to Israel from Bahrain. A Gulf Air apparently will soon join two Emirati airlines that have already announced their plans to fly regularly to Israel in the form of Fly Dubai and Etihad. They have already announced their service to Israel. And the foreign minister landed. He was met on the tarmac by Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi, both of them well masked up. And then there was a series of meetings for the Bahraini delegation. No agreements were signed, I'm led to understand, but it was just really one of those opportunities to get to know each other. Of course, for our Gulf friends, it is a very big deal for them to come to Jerusalem to potentially be able to visit the Temple Mount. This is something for Muslims, which is a big happening for them, and many of them are eager to take up on the opportunity to do so in the guise of the new, now that we have this new arrangement, the new peace deal. Of course, we expect many more to follow suit. And what was quite interesting is that on the same day yesterday, there was another meeting that was held, this time in Abu Dhabi, and the meeting in Abu Dhabi was held between the King of Jordan and the King of Bahrain, and they met with the Crown Prince in Abu Dhabi, and it was just fascinating to draw the comparisons between the two meetings. On the one hand, the kings, the leaders of the country, Jordan, the country with whom, with which Israel is at peace already for some time, not a particularly warm peace. And, you know, some would say not a particularly successful peace, although I would suggest that any peace that brings peace is better than no peace at all, even if it doesn't necessarily result in massive friendships and economic relationships and a lot of cooperation. But at least since that peace agreement was signed with Jordan, we've certainly had peace and quiet on that border, and that counts for a lot. But certainly the mood in Jerusalem yesterday was entirely different. The leaders, Prime Minister Netanyahu, was also involved in some of those meetings. And so all in all, you know, just another step forward on this wonderful and interesting, fascinating, unexpected journey that we are having with the Gulf countries, with Bahrain, with the United Arab Emirates. Interestingly, there was a report which I found to be quite amusing in many respects, that apparently there is some pressure being placed on the Pakistani president, Imran Khan, to form diplomatic relations with Israel, and the pressure is coming from no other than Saudi Arabia. Of course, Saudi Arabia doesn't currently have diplomatic relations with Israel, and so there is a question as to why it would be that a country without diplomatic relations is putting pressure on another country to establish diplomatic relations with Israel. That's something that I haven't quite worked out yet. But the good news between Bahrain and Israel is that they will establish embassies in each other's countries. And it seems as if the economic relationship and the political relationship, diplomatic relationship, is well underway, and all seems very, very positive indeed.
Amazing. It's just absolutely wonderful. I just can't say it enough how really awesome that this is happening, and it's just become normal, which is just so remarkable. The Israeli president and prime minister have finally put in calls to congratulate President-elect Joe Biden. What has been discussed in the calls? Well, that we know of anyway.
Well, I think there were just calls that needed to be made that have come, I think, very, very late in the day, surprisingly late in the day. One would have suggested that Prime Minister Netanyahu would have been on the phone pretty early to talk to Joe Biden. The same with President Rivlin. In the event, those calls only happened the day before yesterday. Apparently, the conversation between Netanyahu and Biden was warm, and that Joe Biden apparently reiterated his commitment, his deep commitment to Israel and security. And, of course, the prime minister spoke about the special bond between Israel and the United States, which, of course, is the basis for Israel's security and its policies. And apparently there was an agreement between the two of them to meet quite soon in order to discuss many issues that are on the agenda and to continue to strengthen the strong alliance between the United States and Israel. In his call, President Rivlin apparently invited Joe Biden to visit him at the presidential residence in Jerusalem and mentioned the fact that he had been happy previously to host Joe Biden in his capacity as vice president. But now, said President Rivlin, he would like to invite him to visit again, this time as president of the U.S. So it's not clear whether President-elect Joe Biden will in fact plan to come to Israel at a relatively early stage in his term in office. None of that has become clear yet. I think he still has some more important fish to fry in terms of getting his feet under the table in the Oval Office to take hold of the Oval Office and to get himself in there, to get his team in there. So I think there's still some important things that he needs to take care of before he can consider international relations, diplomatic relations, potential overseas trips. But at the moment, at least, it seems as if the dialogue has begun. And it's not clear whether some of those initiatives that we spoke about yesterday between the Palestinian Authority and Israel might not have as their background this different relationship that will clearly develop between the Palestinian Authority and the new U.S. administration, and whether there wasn't a decision taken by the Palestinian Authority when we spoke yesterday about them renewing cooperation with Israel and renewing relations with Israel, whether some of that might not already have been an influence from the Joe Biden camp to try to convince the Palestinians that their previous stance of effectively cutting relations with Israel was not going to happen. As I said yesterday, there would be many good reasons why the Palestinian Authority wants to reestablish relations with Israel of its own accord. But in the background, we just have that little thought that perhaps the new administration in the U.S. may have an influence over things.
Yeah, but very, very important that these relationships are established and continue in the best interest of Israel.
There can be no doubt at all that the Israeli government, the Israeli people need a stronger relationship with the United States for many good reasons. And by the way, there is a good reason why the United States would want a good relationship with Israel. So that is very much a two-way street. And whereas before, you know, in years gone by, it was always viewed as a very one-sided relationship with the United States supporting Israel in a unilateral sort of fashion without getting anything back. I think those days are long gone. I think that there can be little doubt in anybody's mind that any strong relationship that the United States develops, whether it be under the Trump administration or under the Biden administration or Obama or any others, is based on the fact that this is good for the United States. That, you know, I don't think that the United States is in the business of being a donor, being a volunteer for good deeds just in order to look good in the public arena. I think that this really does serve their diplomatic needs in a very substantial way, and we shouldn't kid ourselves that it's otherwise.
Absolutely. Defense Minister Benny Gantz has announced that he will open a commission of inquiry into the purchase of submarines by the Israeli Navy. What is the significance of this decision? And is it related to this, to some of the strife that might have been taking place that we spoke about last week or the week before?
So the real significance of this is really not about examining what happened with the purchase of the submarines, but I think the most significant issue that lies beneath this decision is a complete breakdown in the relationship between Gantz and Prime Minister Netanyahu. That's what it says to me. That's what's got written all over this particular move, because we do know that the Prime Minister has been certainly linked to the purchase of these submarines. There are so many rumors about how the purchase of these submarines was done, how closely involved the Prime Minister was, how some of the defense establishment were sidelined, not involved, didn't know, weren't consulted about the purchase of these submarines from the German supplier. And of course, the Prime Minister has been strongly suspected of some wrongdoing in his actions with in relation to the purchase of the submarines for the Israeli Navy. And so the step that Gantz took yesterday to announce that he would want to set up a commission of inquiry to investigate what's known now as the submarine affair is a clear indication that he and Netanyahu have really no relationship whatsoever, that he's absolutely given up on any idea of the rotation taking place in due course. This is quite a serious step to be taken by a defense minister, where the prime minister is really implicated in so many things, so many actions which are questionable about this deal. So it's going to be interesting to see how this commission of inquiry set up, whether it has any authority. Of course, the prime minister and his supporters will do everything in their power to make it go away, to make it look like it's unnecessary, to take the teeth out of any commission that might be established. So there's no doubt that this is drawing some battle lines now between the prime minister and the defense minister over this issue. Who knows where it will end up. I mean, I think that what we'll probably find is a massive waste of government money by setting up the commission, delaying things, getting people involved, getting evidence, and then the matter really going nowhere very quickly. That's at least what I'm expecting will happen with this.
Yeah, indeed, it does look like it will go in that direction, and it really is quite significant that this infighting has now become very, very much a public thing. Finally, Israeli basketballer featured last night on the pick for players by the NBA teams. So we're not a basketball country here at all. So just tell us really what this means for us lay people.
Well, I'm trying to also understand how the whole draft works for the NBA. What they do is they have the system of picks, and teams get a turn to pick. And if you are picked sooner, it's a bit like, it makes me feel like I'm back at school where you've got to choose.
Oh, no, teams. No, don't go there. I was always the second last kid to be picked for any soccer team, Anthony. So
exactly. So. Unless, of course, you have a friend who's the picker. And, you know, I'm guessing it sort of works a little bit like that. Mm. But this involves particularly a 19-year-old Israeli by the name of Deni Avdija. Remember that name, Deni Avdija. He is the new rising basketball star coming out of Israel. He was picked ninth in the NBA draft last night, which is a massive, massive, massive achievement to be picked within the top 10. There were rumors that he was going to even be picked sooner than that. And what happens is that each team has manages to get the right to pick at a certain time. The ninth pick was made by the Washington Wizards, who chose Deni Avdija to be their player for the next season. And of course, he does better than the previous Israeli player, Omri Kuspi, who played in the NBA. He was picked in the 2009 draft, and he was picked only 23rd. So this is a massive improvement from Omri Kuspi's achievement. And we shouldn't forget that there was another Israeli who was also picked in the draft last night. He was picked 47th by the Boston Celtics, Israeli Yam Madar, was also featured in last night's pick. So good, really very, very favorable achievements. But we can talk a little bit about Denny Avdija. His father was a basketball player in the former Yugoslavia, played for Serbia as well. So he comes from a very sporty team. His mother as well is a championship runner. Denny himself has played for Maccabi Tel Aviv. He's made a very successful career so far, even though he's only 19 years old. We're going to be watching the Washington Wizards this year and Denny Avdija. Apparently, he stands to sign a contract, a three-year rookie contract with the Washington Wizards that will earn him something like $12.5 million over the time, that three-year time. But let's hope that it's all about the basketball and less about the money, and that he brings a lot of pride not only to himself and to his family, but of course to Israel and to Serbia, where his family are also very, very strongly, watched and linked. And we wish him a lot of good luck with the Washington Wizards.
Absolutely, we do. I'm getting so many messages saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. Howard, you were the last to be picked. And San says, who was the last kid to be picked? You know what? I don't want to mention names, but he was a hell of a short kid. He was a short, very tiny kid, thick glasses, terrible asthma, and he always was crying. I don't know why he was crying all the time, but you will not get me to mention his name because it wouldn't be right. It would not be right. So
and
stop it's
surprising
it all
that you even remember those details all these years later, Howard. It's obviously something that's stuck in your mind forever.
You know what? Unfortunately or fortunately, I have one of those memories. I remember all things like that. That's how I can write these books, because I do remember detail in a very, very strange sort of a way. But anyway, yeah, it has stuck with me, and but I'm certainly not going to mention his name, but I really wasn't lying. It was absolutely genuine. Anthony Rach, thank you as always. This is where we love and leave you for the week. We'll catch you on Monday morning. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.